Love you and we love your word. Amen. Thank you. We can live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Amen. Speak to us this morning. Amen. We confess we love you and we need you. Amen. We need more of you. Amen. We pray you would speak to us and constitute us. Amen. That we would gain more of you today. Amen. Even we commit the whole week to you. Amen. That we would gain more of you. Amen. We would grow in you. And your kingdom could be more manifested through us. Amen. Amen. We've been studying, reviewing this conference for the elders and the responsible brothers from Africa on the propagating the resurrected, ascended, and all-inclusive Christ as the development of the kingdom of God. And this week we're covering this message on the development of the kingdom of God. And as really, we're studying Acts in these, you know, this past month or so, a little more than a month. And I was very touched by these verses we had this week. You know, Acts was written by Luke. And one of the main verses, or a few of the main verses that we had this week, are from Luke chapter 17. And I was really touched by these verses, putting them together. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, and in his earthly ministry, he spoke these words from Luke chapter 17. I just want to read them to you again. And when he was questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, 'Behold, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." This is a marvelous revelation. It means the kingdom of God is not something we are waiting for to see it, to observe it. The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ himself. The kingdom of God is a person. And that changes everything. You know, I mean, I think most of us, when we think of a kingdom, we think of a nation that's has a king, and there are subjects there, and there's the ruler there. But actually, according to the Lord speaking in Luke 17, of course, the kingdom of God, the Jews knew something about the kingdom of God. The eternal kingdom of God is here forever, right? And no problem in the heavens. The Lord asked us to pray that that kingdom would come on the earth. But when the Pharisees asked him about the kingdom and when it would possibly come, he answered them in this way: "The kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is me. That's what he was saying. And I think that's a marvelous, marvelous verse. And it helped me a lot this week to realize that I need to enjoy Christ as the kingdom of God. I need to enjoy him as my realm in which I live and walk. So we all need to enjoy him in this way, right? And I need to be under his rule, his headship, his leading, that he would be my king in my daily life, in my family life, and in all the things that we do, that the Lord himself would be not just the kingdom, but he would be our king in our experience and in our going on with him. And this message is about the development of the kingdom. Now, I don't know if this is totally accurate, but my sense is Christ as the kingdom of God does not need to be developed, but the kingdom of Christ as the kingdom of God does need to expand and to grow and to be developed. And the first place that this happens is in John chapter 3, verse 5, right? And we read this verse. I'm going to read it to you once more. Jesus answered, "And truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So the first, I don't know if this is correct to say the first, or, but anyway, in our experience, we want and need to enter into this person who is the kingdom of God. And the way we do that is by believing in him, by being born of him, by being born of the water and of the Spirit. What happens? We enter into another realm. We enter into the kingdom of God. Not only we want the kingdom to come into us, he does come into us, but we want to come and get into him. You know, and of course the picture of this and our experience of this is very much in baptism. Galatians 3 says we're baptized into Christ Jesus. And baptism is a very, very important experience. I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who has believed in the Lord and you've not yet been baptized, but if so, I would like to take this opportunity to encourage you, be baptized. Amen. Enter into this kingdom. You have the kingdom in you. You have this person in you, but we need to enter into him. We need to believe, then he enters into us, and be baptized, and we enter into him. It's a very crucial experience in our salvation. Be baptized. The Bible tells us clearly, believe and be baptized, and you shall be saved. Baptism is a very important aspect of our salvation. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm blowing the surprise here a little bit this morning, but as we are speaking, our sixth graders are hearing the gospel. They will today, most likely, some maybe before today, but some today, most likely, they will believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will enter into them as the kingdom of God. And then we're going to be sharing with them about baptism. And I don't know, a month from now or so, they will be put into the kingdom of God. You know, and sometimes when the sixth graders are coming up and they give their testimonies before baptism, they talk about this. This saints teach them this, and they talk about this. They say, I want to be out of Satan's kingdom and into the kingdom of God, right? And it's real. It is very real and a very important experience. So if you haven't been baptized yet, I encourage you, be baptized. Even today, we can fill that tank in 20 minutes, I think. You could be baptized. We have clothes, we have towels, we have water. What's hindering you? Be baptized. Amen. Baptism is a marvelous, marvelous thing. And that is, listen, a further development of this kingdom of God. Now Christ has gotten into you and into me and today into some young people. And that is a development of this person as the kingdom of God. He is growing. He is expanding. And this kingdom is expanding. And for us to pray, your kingdom come, means we want more of his kingdom to expand. And we want there to be more of this kingdom on the earth today. I don't think, anyway, oh Lord Jesus, I don't have much confidence in any human government. And I don't think they're going to solve all the problems of society and human life. I don't think they can. According to the scriptures, there's no proof that they can, right? The only thing that will solve our problems in our human society, whether in this country or any country, is that the kingdom of God would come on the earth today. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're praying for. That's why we're in the Word every day. That's why we're meeting with one another every day, so that this kingdom will grow. And we see this in Mark chapter 4. I think we read those verses this morning. Let's read them again. Mark chapter 4, the Lord gave us this parable to describe the kingdom of God, to explain a little bit about the kingdom of God when he was on the earth. Let's read these together. And he said, so the kingdom is the kingdom of God, as if a man casts seed on the earth and sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and lengthens. How? He does not know. The earth bears fruit by itself, first a blade, then an ear, then full grain in the ear. But when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle, because the harvest has come. So the Lord describes the kingdom here in this way. It's as a seed, right? If a man casts seed on the earth, when the Lord came in his earthly ministry, he sowed the kingdom of God as the gospel. And he was sowing a seed. And that seed needs to get into the human heart. And if our heart is in a good condition, it bears fruit, first a blade, then the ear, then full grain in the ear. So for us as believers who have received this seed, for this kingdom to grow, we must take care of our heart.
Amen.
Guard your heart above all that you guard, for out of it flow the issues of life. There are rocks in our heart. There are sinful things in us. There's lust in our flesh. There's all kinds of things in our... You know, the heart is incurable, Jeremiah says. It's, you know, our heart, it's not just has cancer, it's just incurable with all kinds of diseases there. So we need to guard our heart and pray that the Lord would purify our heart. And that our heart could be, of course, our heart can be cleansed when we confess our sins, right? Our conscience being part of our heart can be cleansed and can be open. But we need to be careful because our heart is it's attracted to so many things in the world. And these things can become thorns growing up along with the seed of the kingdom and eventually choking the seed of the kingdom. And you know, we have a lot of young couples in the church here and even in the churches, and we're so happy about that. We have marriages every year. We hope we have more marriages later in the year. I'm not promoting things, but anyway, we do hope that the Lord will bring you together with your spouse and you start a family together. You know, when you get married, there's a lot of things and concerns. How you got to get an apartment, you got to get a place, you got to, you know, you have to get a car. There are all kinds of things that can enter and can, I don't know, occupy our heart. We need to be careful. We need to guard our heart so that this seed of life can grow in us, can sprout in us, and produce fruit in us, and manifest the kingdom of God in our family life, in our daily life, and in our church life. This is the further development of the kingdom of God. And for this, we have these verses in Ephesians 3 this week. I'm going to read them to you. I'm sure you're familiar with them. Paul prayed for our experience of Christ, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. The more we spend time with the Lord, the more we behold Him and reflect Him, the more we take Him in by reading the Word and praying over the Word and being touched by Him, even receiving light from Him, from the Word of God, the more He is growing in our hearts, spreading from our spirit into our mind, renewing our mind, spreading into our emotions, purifying our emotions. So that we would love what God loves and hate what God hates. Because it may be sometimes we love what God hates. And we're not so fond of what God loves often in our going on with the Lord and our maturing in the Lord. So we need more of Christ in our heart, in our emotion, even in our will to choose Him. When He says to us, you know, no, don't go there. Don't say that. We need a strengthening of our will at that moment to say what? Amen, Lord. I don't know what areas this affects you, but it affects me a lot in my speaking because I am a loudmouth. I like to talk. I talk a lot, you know, and I have to be careful. Even in my family life. Well, maybe I should say, especially with my wife. I have to be careful. You know? We have an idiom in English that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a big, fat lie. Words really hurt us. And sometimes we say things to each other in our, you know, to get back at each other. We say things to each other. to, you know, oh yeah, well, boom, I'm gonna say something. And that's very painful. It's very, and it hurts. It really hurts. We need a strengthened will, because oftentimes, so many times, I'm about to say something, the Lord says, wait, no, don't say anything. And I need a strengthened will to say, amen, Lord. Because in ourself, in our pride sometimes, in our flesh, we want to get back. Not just at our spouse, but at other people, maybe a coworker or something, criticizing us. We just like to. Well, when we do that, if we say amen to the Lord and don't and obey him, listen, the kingdom grows in you. The kingdom is developing in you. This person is growing in you and developing in you and transforming you so that your will is one with his will. Brothers and sisters, I don't know, we really need this. Not just here in the church in New York. I've been traveling, you know, a lot recently. We're going, you know, these 2 weeks, we're traveling with the trainees up in the churches in upstate New York. We need this everywhere. We really need this everywhere. Even brothers, we're serving together. We need this. We really need this. We need to learn to come together, to open to one another, to love one another, and forget the past, forget the things behind, and go on positively in the Lord. We need to exercise to do that. And what's happening? The kingdom of God is developing. It's growing in us. And we really need to experience this. You know, we have these verses. Let's read Romans 14, 17. I think the brothers do have it. Sorry that we called it a little early. This is a very important verse. This verse also tells us more about the kingdom of God. And it's in Romans 14, which is a chapter on the church life. So we often use this verse, and I think it's apropos, it's appropriate to use this verse, to say that the church life should be and is the kingdom of God today. And so we need to enjoy the kingdom of God in the church life. Let's read this verse. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, yesterday we had a very good fellowship with the young people serving ones, and our brother gave us a very good word on the importance of the young people and caring for them. And in the testimonies, it was came out quite a few times from different districts, you know, now that we've been spreading, there are new brothers and new sisters who are serving the young people who may not have served them before. And they're having to learn how to serve them. And they were testifying and, you know, witnessing to us that it's really hard. You know, it's really hard to hold their attention. It's really hard. They don't pay. They're on their phones and, you know, all kinds of things. It's really difficult. Well, I didn't say anything yesterday, but I'd like to encourage all of us today with this verse, Acts 14, 22. Let's read that together. Establishing the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter. On the one hand, we believe we enter. On the other hand, it's through many tribulations. And when I was listening to those testimonies, I was thinking to myself, brother, you are serving the young people so that you will enter into the kingdom of God. To you, it seems like a tribulation. It seems like a difficulty. And he was asking all of us, some young brothers, come and help us in our district. Well, that we may need to go, you know, if the Lord leads you, you should go there and serve the young people there and help them. But I hope this brother wouldn't stop serving so that he, through many tribulations, would enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because this matter of the kingdom of God developing is a battle. It is a warfare. And it's costly. And at least it will cost us our soul life for us to grow and develop into the kingdom of God. So we should read Ephesians 6:12, right? Because the kingdom of God is not an outward thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual matter. So, for our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. We're in a fight. We're in a battle. And it's a wrestling match. It's a tribulation. It's a struggle. But brothers and sisters, we have the victor in our spirit. We have the victorious Christ in our spirit who has overcome the devil, even nullified the devil and nullified death so that we should not be touched by it. So we need to enjoy the kingdom of God as the person in our spirit, and we need to let him grow and increase in us for the development. Lastly, for the development, let's read Acts 28, 23 and 31. I don't know if they're together. Yeah, probably they are. Let's read these two together. Appointed a day for him, many came to him at his lodging, whom he expounded these matters, solemnly testifying of the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning until evening. And verse 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness unhindered. So the last aspect of this development to me, or what I enjoy this week, is that we need to be those testifying of the kingdom of God and persuading people concerning Jesus, who is the kingdom of God, and proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness unhindered. He is the kingdom of God, and we need to preach him. We need to proclaim him. We need to declare him. I think it's a marvelous thing that, you know, for so many years, the Chinese-speaking saints have had a gospel meeting every month. And you can see the fruit from it. We are the fruit of that. And then now the English-speaking brothers have the burden every month to have. This is marvelous. Let's have the gospel meeting. Let's come together and proclaim and testify and declare. And not only once a month, how about our daily life? How about our daily life? You know, I had a very precious experience this week. I traveled up to Albany and to Syracuse with the team, and we were there on the campuses. And we have a club at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Albany, and so we were able to set up our table on the club. And we met so many open students. And we gave them an invitation for the dinner that evening, which would took place in the library on campus. And when we got there, there were three friends there coming to the dinner to join us. And so I met one of them. His name is Zach Ward. He is a PhD, third year PhD student in nanophysics. I have no idea what that is about. He tried to explain it to me. It was very foreign. Well, anyway, I understood that it was tiny, tiny physics, right? And he, you know, he's there teaching at the university. And he came in and I said, how are you doing? He said, you know, right away, he said, you know, I used to have kind of this feeling of peace and more, I was happier, you know, years ago. And somehow I lost that. I lost that. And I said, it's funny. I had the same experience. And I asked him, when did you lose it? And he thought for a minute. He said, you know, probably when I got to college. And I said, me too. I got to college. And the world came in. And, you know, I said I was a Christian, but the world came in. And I kind of lost something. I had to get it back, you know. And so I asked him, I said, you know, you can get that back. And I shared the gospel with him. And we had that little booklet, Mystery of Human Life, and as we're going through it, you know, I would say, well, this, nothing in the world, you know, education and money doesn't satisfy you. And he sat next to me and said, indeed. And then I went on to say, you know, and then we're made of three parts. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You know, you have a physical heart, but you also have a psychological heart. He said, indeed. And then I said, and God has become a man and died on the cross so he can get into your human spirit. Isn't that good? He said, indeed. So I said, would you like to pray to receive the Lord Jesus? Yes, let's do it right now. So he prayed very strongly, very out loud, you know, out loud. And he entered into the kingdom of God. Amen. And he said, right away, he said, this is really good. And so we had dinner together and we talked and we had a lot of good fellowship that evening with this one. And we had another student from Ghana who was there. She's a grad student, Minerva, and she's looking for a church. And we had another young man from India who was there and met the club earlier in the semester, so he was, you know, coming along with the club members. Anyway, my point is, there are a lot of people, wherever we are, that need the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we need to proclaim him as the kingdom of God. And you know, and then when we do this, we grow in him, and then he spreads to others. And his kingdom is constantly being developed. May we exercise ourselves to allow him to grow and to spread himself through us.
Praise the Lord. This matter of the kingdom is indeed wonderful. It's wonderful indeed. Praise the Lord. You know, I heard of the kingdom of God many times, but how to define the kingdom of God? The ministry helped me this week to have that a little clearer, and I want to share that with you. The kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus himself. But not just that, whom has been sown into the believers to develop into a realm in which God can rule by his life. Amen. Praise the Lord. I memorized it. And it's just so wonderful to be equipped with the word. If God is not ruling by his life, then I'm not in the reality of the kingdom. If I'm ruling, then I am in my kingdom. I'm not in the kingdom of God. But the purpose of our existence is actually this, the kingdom. The Lord invested everything to obtain such a kingdom. This kingdom is the church today. And it is also the Lord Jesus, and it's also the believers. Why? Because the book of Acts, which speaks of the propagation of the resurrected and ascended Christ, presents in chapter 5 and chapter 11 that those who believe into the Lord Jesus, they were added to the Lord. Amen. They were not added to some kind of an organization. They were added to a person, the wonderful person of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And this person is the kingdom. Amen. In him, God rules by his life. And now we're talking about the developing of this kingdom. So this word developing, sometimes not knowing English very well, helps me because it causes me to search a little more and understand a little more. This developing of the kingdom, that refers to the spreading of Christ as life. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're clear about the kingdom. And about the developing of the kingdom, this developing is the spreading of Christ as life. Hallelujah. Why is this necessary? Because, yes, the seed of the kingdom was sown into us. But this seed must grow. On the one hand, the Lord Jesus as the kingdom enter into us. On the other hand, we enter into the kingdom. In John 3, it tells us that we enter by birth. We were born by water and the Spirit into the kingdom of God. But when we are born, hallelujah, but we cannot remain an infant. We must grow. Amen. This growing in life is the developing of the kingdom. Amen. Until there is a realm, and a sphere, a universe in which God can rule. Amen. And God ruled not as a tyrant, but he ruled by his life. Hallelujah. The book of Acts begins with the matter of the kingdom. We have chapter 1, verse 3. There we read that after the Lord resurrected, he appeared to the disciples for a period of 40 days. And then it says that he was speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. Amen. So the book of Acts, concerning the propagation of the resurrected and ascended Christ, the all-inclusive Christ, begins with this matter of the kingdom of God. And the last chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 28, the last verse of the chapter, verse 31 says, proclaiming the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So this book begins with the kingdom of God and ends with the kingdom of God, because really it's in the heart of God that the experience of the church today will be this propagation of the resurrected and ascended and all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
By the developing of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. This propagation in very local terms, with this view that we have studied in this book, I came to realize that many times we talk about the districts that we have now, and many times the words that we use is that we now have been divided into 8 different districts. And then this brought me to the realization that this word divided is actually not according to what we are seeing in the scripture. We're not divided into 8 districts. We have propagated into 8 districts.
Amen.
That's growing from going from division to multiplication.
Amen.
The Lord's ministry and Lord's work is not a ministry of division.
Right.
It's a ministry of multiplication.
Amen.
And we proclaim and pray that this multiplication will be exponentially.
Amen.
In the city of New York.
Amen.
The Lord sovereignly has put us here from different backgrounds, languages, experiences, for this very purpose.
That's right.
That he will have the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Fully expressed.
Amen.
In the church in New York City.
Amen.
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 But this is a battle, as Brother Dennis was sharing. Of course, the enemy is not happy about this. And the best thing he can do is just lie. The problem is that we believe his lies sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the lies I have believed sometimes is, you're not good. You will never be transformed. Look, you're still the same. That is a lie. We have to trust in the power of the life that is within this seed that has been sown in you and it has been sown in me.
Right.
This is the life of God that can grow and overcome any obstacle.
Amen.
But the Bible never promised us that we will have a transformation overnight. And for some reason, we expect that sometimes. Nobody sows a seed, water the seed, and come next day expecting to see the wonderful flower. That just doesn't happen that way. It's an organic process, and sometimes has many things into it, many labor and many sufferings. But the seed is growing.
Right.
We have to trust in the power of this life.
Amen.
Life grows. We must continue to water one another. We must continue to abide in the Lord, looking away unto him, receiving the life supply, and we shall grow.
Amen.
Amen. The other lie that sometimes I have believed is, oh, you're serving. Oh, you're in meetings. You're in the church. You are okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's probably worst, because we believe our own lie now. But may the light shine. And this is a point that I enjoy very, very much this week. The kingdom of God is a matter of life. But it's also a matter of light. Because life and light in the Bible, in the divine revelation, goes together. The Apostle John writes in chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And then in chapter 8, the Lord Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means, hallelujah, by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So this matter of the kingdom, yes, it is a matter of life, but it's also a matter of light. And when we come to the light, light has an authority. I enjoy that in the Bible, we have this wonderful verse in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, who deliver us out of the authority of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The kingdom of the Son of his love here is in opposition to the authority of darkness. meaning this kingdom of the Son of His love is also a kingdom of light. And light shines, and lights bring an authority. This light doesn't have to struggle with darkness, but this light swallows darkness. This light, when it comes to us, and when we come to the light, our inner being just have to agree with the light. There's no struggle. Light just shine. And in Matthew chapter 16, at the end of the chapter, there is this story of the Lord telling the disciples that some of you, before you die, shall see the Son of God coming into His kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom. And there the Lord told them, you, some of you, before you die, you shall see the Son of Man coming into His kingdom. Amen. Then the following verses are in the next chapter 17. And we read the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. 6 days later, the Lord took Peter, James, and John and took them privately into a high mountain. And He transfigured before them. And there it says that His face shone as the sun. Oh, the Lord Jesus today is the Spirit. And we need to have this experience. We need to come daily to the light. This is a kingdom of light. The light will overcome any other obstacle. And there is a hymn that has ministered this truth to me so dearly for years. Every time I sing this hymn, I receive this supply. And it's hymn 645. Maybe we can find it. Maybe some of the new ones are not familiar with this hymn. And it's really wonderful. It's sweet. It's beautiful, but it's powerful. Because it brings us into the kingdom of light. The disciples there, they saw the face of the Lord Jesus shining like the sun. And in many accounts of the Bible, it speaks of seeking His face for light, for enlightenment. And here in the chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Look full in His wonderful face. Amen. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. They grow strangely dim. The things, the earthly things. Strangely, it's a miracle. Little miracle. Little by little. Day by day. That's the way to be transformed. We have to be delivered of this expectation of overnight transformation. And be consistent. Trusting in God's economy. His supply of life will transform us. And the seed of life sown into us will grow if we continue to come to Him and allow Him to spread in all the parts of our inner being, our emotion, our mind, and our will. They must be permeated with Christ. He is the kingdom. Praise the Lord. May we have this experience daily. So that we will not be discouraged when we see our present situation. And that we will not be discouraged when we see the present situation of those we are caring for. Amen. That we will not be discouraged when we see the present situation of even our children. But believe in the deposit that is in them. Amen. The seed of the kingdom of God has been sown into them. And it shall grow. May we cooperate with the Lord for the development of the kingdom of God, the spreading of Christ as life into us. Praise the Lord.